Hello, welcome to Axe to Grind. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Patrick.
My name is Bob.
I'm Tom.
And our guest today?
I'm Scanlon.
Scanlon, what is your pedigree? Why are you on this podcast?
What is your first name?
My first name is John, by the way.
Okay. What's your middle name?
Joseph. I'm a John Joseph.
So you're Irish?
No,
you're a little Irish?
Yeah, I'm Irish.
John Joseph Scanlon. Yeah. Yeah. What's your confirmation name?
My confirmation name is James.
Three. Wow.
Why are you on this podcast? Tell us your bona fides here.
I'm a promoter on Long Island.
The promoter on Long Island. That would go as far as to say.
Sure. That works. I've done a fest before. I put out a record or two. I have a hand in a venue. So I'm like, got my hands on a bunch of different things, and I just like hardcore. So
that's, and your age?
I am 26.
And today you're here not just because you're an interesting person, but there's a specificity to our podcast today. Welcome. This is a hardcore podcast. Today we're going to be talking about hardcore festivals. You might be surprised if you are not a musician or not part of the hardcore Illuminati that this is a touchy subject.
Yes.
This is a thing that people get punched in the face over, or threats on their DMs. Do not send us threatening DMs. We are talking about things that are opinion based with no, I have to be totally frank with you. This is an episode that I can say there is no axe to grind on my part.
Yeah, when was the last time, like, say, self-defense played a fest, like
they
a hardcore
fest?
Oh, we actually
played fest.
I'll get into it, but okay. But I wish all the fests the best of luck, but we'll get into all that. The format of Axe to Grind is that we speak a lot of truth. We also speak a lot of opinion, and if one of our opinions is maybe colored by something in our past or a beef.
Personal experience.
Yeah. Just a strong distaste that has something to do other than the merit of the actual piece. We say, I got an axe to grind, or I'm grinding an axe. That's how you know that we know our own biases. So let's launch into this. Two men in this room have done festivals. Bob, you've done a fest?
I have. I did Sound and Fury Festival from 2006 to 2009.
Were those the first years?
Yes.
So you created Sound and Fury.
Yeah, wait. Sound and Fury was started by myself, Sean Riley, and Todd Jones.
And Scanlon, you have done?
I've done two. One was just a straight-up hardcore fest called Vengeance Fest, that's which right. I had Tom play.
How many days?
It was just two.
Okay.
I also treat it as more of just like two bigger shows. It wasn't like an all-day thing or anything like that. And then the other one I did was I did two called Mixtape Fest with my friend Jake, who works with me. And it was more of a mixed bill.
Fest. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right. Was there a California version of that too? Did I make that up?
There was.
Did you? Were you involved in that too?
No, that was just Jake and I forget the other dude's name. That was like a little bit before.
That wasn't
my time.
Christian Cleanser. Was it Christian McKnight? Was it?
No.
Yeah.
Christian
else.
Did help with Long Island Fest a little bit though.
Okay.
So we asked people to hit us. Now a lot of the fests do put it out there. Hey, hit us with your suggestions. And sometimes they mean bands. I know Sound and Fury does like a more open. Tell us what you want out of this fest, and that can include, like, you know, better access to toilets or, you know, tacos, whatever,
sure.
Whatever the hell. So the fests are pretty receptive, I think, to at least the idea of offering your opinion.
How much weight do you think they put in those opinions?
Okay, so...
Honestly.
I speak to Riley at Sound of
Fury.
Well,
it's different. Yeah, I think...
Wait, what? Me?
No.
But like, how much, like, you know, like, when you see people that have, like...
Tell us what you want.
Like, give us your top 20 bands you'd like to see. How much of that shit's actually...
I know Riley does.
Okay. Yes, I mean, we were doing...
I'm not being...
No, we were doing that in 2007. The second
you
year
go,
of the
oh,
fest.
Fuck, dude. We got, like, 87 votes for...
No, but
lights
we,
out. Let's
no,
get
but it was more just information collecting and seeing what people were into.
Okay.
I would say the biggest thing to me was, you know, when we started Sound and Fury 2006, I was 24 years old.
Wow.
And so was Todd, and Riley was maybe a year older. But we always said if we were booking Bob, Todd, Riley Fest, the lineup would look a lot different. And
sure.
It would not be as appealing
to
more people,
wider
which
audience.
Is fine. And, you know, that hasn't changed as we've gotten older. It was more like a checking out the room and being like, oh, what's this band that got 5 votes that we haven't heard of? Let's check this out.
Right.
Oh, let's check this out. So we would check all that out. And, you know, I don't think I'm revealing any recipes, but it was more just about information. And it's
sure.
getting opinions of as many people as you can.
And it's like I was saying, it's not just the band thing though. I think the bands, like, that's what makes you want to go, but your overall experience is what makes you want to come back. So like, because once a fest is established, in my view, people are then start, it's a thing.
It's a destination.
And it's a destination. Yeah. Like, we can talk about United Blood, which I think is probably like the premier hookup fest.
Is it?
That's where you go when you've been talking to somebody online for fucking like a year, and then you go and you hang
out. Well, let's hold on, because we're all old men. Yeah. Scanlon?
Is that true?
I mean,
have you hooked up United Blood?
No.
Okay.
I think people do like... United Blood definitely gets a rep for being like a social gathering, more right. So like, see, there are literally people like that, or even my friends, that don't really care about the bands or anything like that, will actually pay for a ticket and just to go to Richmond and just hang out.
Yeah, you know? It's a party.
Right. But that's a great destination
as well.
It's a
good party.
And we're going to talk about what makes that fest work, because I have a total strong feeling on what makes that fest viable. But let's talk about the fests.
Let's just talk about fests in general.
Well, okay. Does anybody have a fest that they're really partial to?
Over
the years?
Like, is somebody in the room a Black and Blue Bowl guy, and somebody else in the room is a Sound of Fury guy? Because the culture of these fests is different.
Well, so the cultures are way different, and I think that's something that goes into it. I think they bring a lot to the table, and it's hard because I can't say, well, I'm a Sound and Fury guy. I scribbled the name on my fucking notepad in college, so...
Right, it's all different. Yeah. And they all have different vibes and
so... But I mean, what you said brings up to me is that all of the fests that we're going to talk about, and this can kind of be sort of a precursor to the actual conversation, have a different feel, a different texture, and that's kind of a cool thing. So let's acknowledge that up front.
I think it's their biggest asset right now.
Absolutely.
And I think that the danger... is we have so few headliners at the moment that they have to cannibalize each other, and
it's a necessary evil. You're going to see a lot of the same bands,
correct?
That could legitimately 10 current bands,
right? Mm-hmm. And then you're getting into, we're going to talk about the dice roll of reunions. We're going to talk into all that, but I think that if there's any danger of these fests infringing on each other's sort of fiefdoms, is that we are kind of there's not a ton of headliners right now, and that is a problem, because This Is Hardcore has a distinct flavor.
Absolutely.
And if they have to share headliners with other, it becomes a thing. And I don't know if the average person might go to the one closest to them, they might go to the one that they've heard is hottest, but they don't understand that firstly, let's just concede the fact, even if we like a fest, don't like a fest, there's an incredible amount of work that goes into these shits. Like, on a level that...
Probably 363 days worth of work.
Correct.
To go into it from.
Yeah. And for sometimes very low very low returns.
Yes.
And
or some big returns, because some people, you know, I mean, there's got to be some kind of return on
your one thing investment. I definitely don't want to do is be math magicians on this podcast, because as Scanlon can probably tell you, as soon as you start booking shows, everybody wants to know about your numbers and this and that.
Yep.
And I don't think... Yeah, it is interesting. But it's really interesting if someone goes, hey, oh man, it's a 3-day festival, you're charging $50 and there's like 1,000 people here.
You made $1 billion.
You just made $50,000. And it's like, well, you know, that's an interesting number to pull out, because it's like, no, actually, there's costs that go into this.
Or sometimes bands hear what other bands are making and they go, hold on, wait a minute, why aren't we getting that money?
Oh, yeah. Right.
We're not getting that money? We're not playing anymore.
Yeah, that just happened. I mean, I don't care about calling them out. They're like 40-year-old men. They're not going to find
40,
me.
40? They're probably fucking 50.
Yeah, basically, this band called Infest was supposed to play FYA. Oh. Found out how much their friends were making and were just like...
Chain of Strength.
And we're just like, oh, well, we see how much the ticket prices are and we see what our friends are getting. Mind you, Chain of Strength was headlining.
And they were
Infest was
going
to play second to last.
Sure.
On the other day to Code Orange, and was like, well, we want that or we're out. And Bob said, all right, fuck you, basically.
So Bob is the guy who books
better,
FYI.
Yeah, Bob got a better replacement, in my opinion.
They are better.
A bigger bang for his buck,
yeah.
I'm sure.
So let's... I think what Pat said was a really good point. There's a small pool of headliner level. So that begs the question, well, what do you do? There's cannibalizing, there's different things. You try to avoid. I think most people who do festivals don't want to book the same fest as the guys across the street, even if... the guys across the street are throwing their party and they got a pool and you just have, you know, a bocce ball court. I think what Bob Wilson, who books FYA Fest, as we mentioned on this podcast before, did was really interesting. I think it was cool what he did with replacing InFest with Iron Age. But we have a dude in the room who was there. Can you give us some FYA details? Tell us about the fest.
Any bands that like stuck out that you were shocked at the responses they got, positively or negatively?
Well, first off, I just want to give a positive review to FYA, whereas Bob is smart. He focuses on current bands and things that are being talked about and doesn't care so much more for like having a cool headliner or I mean obviously
he does.
He,
but the thing is though is he gets mostly good current headliners, whereas like the thing with Fest right now, which is the biggest problem, as you mentioned, there's not that many headliners to begin with anyway, is that it's like it's kind of annoying booking a fest and being like, all right, well, I know they probably won't get a good reaction. They're going to probably cost me a lot of money, but I got to get some crazy reunion band just to have on the top.
Time out.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
What do you, well, I people, don't think you do.
People think you do.
People think you do.
People who book fests who think that should stop.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to. And I think it's hard. And I'm not calling anyone specific out. I was there too. You don't need that.
No.
Look in value and you look at your books and you go, oh, and I'm not talking, oh man, I would have made so much more money. I'm saying, oh shit, I paid this much out, and that meant I couldn't have booked these five bands that, man, that would have been really cool. I think the reason, and what you identified is perfect. Bob, as much as anyone at this table, and we're all pretty freaky about this, is checking out new bands all the time. Yeah. All the time. And his strength is that he books an incredible level of newer bands that are coming up.
Newer
he can forecast and say, yo, this band is really good. All they need is a chance to play.
Yep.
And he books, the order is really concise. I think there's a really nice flow up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not overdone. There's not 47 bands a day.
Well, no, and that's always a problem. That's a separate issue.
Sure.
But he just books a really solid, current, relevant hardcore fest. Reunions, cool. Iron Age, you can call it a reunion or not. It's they haven't played for a while, they played. So it counts as a reunion.
Hmm.
But it was felt vital. It felt vibrant. It didn't feel Tread. Yo, I love InFest. I love Chain of Strength. Those things felt kind of Tread. Yeah. So,
but not in that, maybe not in that part of the country.
Oh, no,
that's,
not right.
That's the other,
huge thing. But like, I do think there's a mentality that happens when you're booking these things that you feel like, shit, I need that whipped cream and cherry on the sundae. Yep. Yo, if the ice cream's good enough, serve it.
100%.
So FYI.
So the bands, in my opinion, that got great reactions were Eco Strike.
Yep.
I don't know if you've all heard them yet.
Yeah.
London's new band. They could have headlined. They smoked it. It's like crazy how well Florida, specifically like South Florida, to be a little bit more specific. Yeah. All their bands do so well right now in Florida. Like South Florida goes off very hard for
it's
which crazy,
is amazing,
which really is good. Like this band called Day by Day went up to Boston to play America's Hardcore,
right.
And literally, I'm not kidding you. I think the Florida kids like counted. There was like 80 of them that flew up just for the fest. And like
we were saying a couple of podcasts ago, how insane
listen,
that reaction was.
This is not me taking a thing away from Day by Day or from Vane. But if you want a cheat code, young people, on to how to make your band pop,
get your friends to act like
You bring 20 of your homies and you have them be the wildest dudes and young women or whatever,
Blind Justice at United Bloodlust,
right? Because then everybody goes, I want to be part of that.
Right.
Yeah. They don't know like that you like live next door to this.
And why do they want to be a part of that? Because fun.
Everyone else is having fun. Yeah. I want to be part of that too.
Yeah. Correct. So cheat code, get your homies to come. And
go off for your friends' bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
That's like, to be honest, like this band from Long Island, Jukai, that's how they got like pretty popular, is because they would fill a van and a bunch of Long Island kids would travel their Long Island sets themselves were always crazy, but it was all like their friends and stuff. And then that's what really put them on like the map, because like
Bob kind of gave them an in before a lot of other fests.
Well, what I was going to say, when they played the first FYA, like literally like 30 or 40 Long Island kids just went down there and just like made sure to that they had a good set and all that. So it definitely helps, you know.
So FYA, good sets. Eco Strike was great.
I don't really like them that much, but this band played their last show. It was Elegy. It's not really my style. They They had a great set.
What was it like? What's the band about?
They're kind of like a vegan straight edge.
Yeah, vegan straight edge.
Florida vegan straight edge.
Like a Day of Suffering kind of like metal-y.
They go for like more like the European like hardcore like Archangel. Stuff. Yeah.
Maybe not that hard. I actually liked the last thing that they, whatever that thing was. I thought.
And I know they went through a lot of shit because they made the comments.
Yeah, what was
that? Was so dumb. She was basically saying like, it's a redundant statement. It's crazy it has to even be said, but I'm just going to say it. Like, it's really not that hard to be straight edge or vegan. And that was it. She was like, that's all I'm going
to
say.
And what did it get blown up to be, Tom?
Just kind of like...
No. Yeah. It was misheard as kill yourself if you're not straight edge or vegan.
And yo, what did we all say? We all said, you know what we all said? Cool. I'm not vegan. I am straight edge. I don't care. Right. I love the conviction. Fuck yeah.
If I walked into a room and it was the dudes from No Redeeming Social Value,
like if you don't drink 40s, you should kill yourself. I'm like, I'm still saying,
let me watch what you're gonna say next.
Right, exactly. I love provocative.
I love that shit.
I love it.
And
I don't
you know
shit.
What? It's true. If you want to be vegan, you can walk down the fucking street. It's not like, you know what I mean? It is.
I mean, as a statement, no, it's not. Like,
not but you're not saying anything that's out of bounds.
No, but you know what? At this exact moment, somebody in the room said, what about the migrant farmer that can't afford the vegan shit?
Do you think that's happening at FYA Fest?
No, that's a good point.
You know what? The conviction of saying it, and I like what she said. If she had said, kill yourself if you're not... I'm with it. Do your thing. So if I heard, but that set was crazy.
Yeah.
They're a South Florida band as well?
I don't know exactly where they're from. I think they're from Florida, but I'm not really too sure. Vane, of course, had a great one. Trying to think of like more of the current bands that had a really good one. Abuse of Power did really well.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think they're a cool band. Iron Age obviously had a really good set. I sort of felt bad. They had a lot of technical difficulties.
But people were telling me that was it. It was wild. Was that the biggest set of the weekend?
Eco Strike, right?
Probably Eco Strike, honestly.
Wow. Who was main support for Chain the night before?
That was... Why is that escaping me right now?
I'm just curious.
For Chain.
Because you were running the stage.
Yeah, so. I already forgot. I erased that whole weekend from my memory.
Going to say maybe something heretical. I don't understand how like a young person gets into Iron Age. I think like Iron Age... We're going to say something real right now. And this is not a knock against a good band. You know what I mean? We'd all agree Iron Age is a good band.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They have always been a poser magnet. Is it true or untrue?
No, untrue. I would fight that.
Really?
Do you think they were the predecessor to Power Trip?
I think Power Trip would say they are.
Yeah. No, but it doesn't sound like it. Power Trip is very different.
It's got the whole like Best Wishes Cro-Mags vibe.
It's really interesting. Go ahead. Tell me.
Okay, so I actually like some Iron Age and dislike some other Iron Age. But it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that for a moment, they were the band that people professed to like, but you really could not figure out.
That is true. I think I'd make a distinction between they're the band that people would yell like, "Oh, I love Iron Age, I love Iron Age," and then you go see Iron Age, and it's like, "Oh, there's not a lot of people in this room," or "Oh, there's a lot of people in this room and not a lot of people really actively into it or interested." Yeah. And I mean, I saw Iron Age early. Those dudes, big credit. They started doing their lane. They were playing off a demo touring with Mental in 05 where they were playing like a 15 or 20 minute set, which for them meant four or five songs. And they were rotating. They had all these songs. So they were going out and doing it right away. That LP, Constant Struggle,
it's sick.
It's great. It's a great record. Sleeping Eye is a very good record and different. But I'll say this. In 2010, I think I'm living in San Antonio, I go see them play a metal show in San Antonio at this small club. What's the club there? You guys play?
The Dirt Farm.
Yes, all right. it was smaller than the room we're recording this podcast in, and there was like 11 people there.
Yeah.
They were wonderful. They were excellent. Yeah. But that professional, like, oh, Sleeping Eye... That record is incredible, but it just didn't draw people out. Now I'd see them say a couple months later at Chaos and Taos, and the room was full and going crazy.
Yeah.
Well, but I guess that's what I mean is that they became a Chaos and Taos, another fest that it hasn't been going on for
a few years
now. But that was sort of, and is it? Listen, this is not me shitting on the dudes who do Chaos and Taos. But like that was its own poser magnet as well. Like
that was like a Coachella for Dirty Kids.
That's exactly right. Okay, that's exactly right.
You know what's funny? It's hard because like. Could you say that, like, oh, Sound and Fury is a fucking Coachella for kids with neon shirts?
Correct. Yes, right.
Yeah,
I would say
you
that.
You totally can. Yeah, and I think that's the piece. It's like, what goes into booking these festivals is that, one, you have the understanding right out of the gate that there's going to be a significant portion of your audience who's attending the festival to be attending the festival and seeing other people.
Their
now
money
more than
is
ever.
Just as green as the guy who's...
The people who come up to you right. and say, I'm so glad you booked Despise You. I wanted to see them. I came to this fest by myself from 7 hours and drove, and I wanted to say thank you and look like they're tears. I'm getting emotional thinking about it because it's awesome. But you don't get that from 90% of the audience. But that's okay because you're trying to do something. You're putting it together. There's not going to be an appreciation of the amount of work that it took and the amount of time that you spent doing this and thinking like, ooh, do we have too many heavy bands? Do we have too many melodic bands? Da, 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 da.
Right. How many bands? What the set list?
What's the right number? Like? Where should these bands play? There's a lot of work, but that's okay. So I would not call it. But yo, I went to Chaos and Taos. Yeah, there was a lot of people who were just there to sit outside. I went to Havoc Fest in 2000.
Oh, shit.
There was fucking...
Crusties.
My friends who went with me went to Barn Fest, Red Barn Fest in Wisconsin.
You just gave me scabies.
I know. Went to Red Barn Fest in Wisconsin in 99, and they're like, it was outside on a farm in Wisconsin, and I've never been to a more ridiculous scene. Havoc Fest, I remember being handed a flyer saying, hey, this, like, train punk stabbed this woman and killed her. Here's his picture. Just be on the lookout.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, there's a lot of people who are going to festivals for not the music, but you're not doing it for them. You're doing it because want to do a festival. You want to expose people to this music. Right. I hope. And people do festivals for a million. Why did you do a festival?
I just did it because sort of how you're saying, like, I didn't care about other people. I just wanted to do it for myself. I wanted to test the waters, see how it went. I booked a lineup of bands that mostly I just fucked with. Like, yeah. I didn't care if anyone really liked any of the bands that were playing. Like, For example, I last minute put Crown of Thorns on it because I love Crown of Thorns. I don't give a fuck if anyone cared at that time, which most people don't. Some Long Island kids actually fuck with them more so now, which is like pretty funny.
Because you opened them up.
But that's, to me, I do care about what people fuck with. And that's kind of why I said Todd Riley Fest wouldn't have worked because we would have been like, oh, we want this band. And it would have felt all over the place. We were like, yo, if I was 18 in 2006, what's the festival I'd want to see?
Yeah.
And what are some things I might not know and would want to be exposed to? We did that fest as a response because we went to a festival that had been happening in California, and I'll say this out, Sync with Cali.
Yep.
I thought this was like an offshoot of that. It wasn't.
No,
it was the beef. It was the response.
Oh. No, you want the truth, because I don't know that dude.
You don't know Al?
No. Is that the Dangerous guy?
Al Brown. Al Brown of Dangerous, who has become a friend over the years and is a total sweetheart.
I've never met him.
He's Patrick Kinlan adjacent. He makes sense.
So you correct me. You correct me if I'm wrong, and don't be political.
I will.
Sound and Fury was the clapback to Sync with Cali because maybe there was personal grievances, but more so, that was the thing in California, and it wasn't meeting your needs at all.
It wasn't meeting the needs of a lot of people.
Okay.
So what kind of bands were
hold on. Half Heart, Guns Up.
Similar.
Verse. Oh, totally. Yeah.
So it wasn't like they're booking fucking...
No. And you know what? But so what was happening was that the last year of it, and just like quick on this because I don't want to be in memory lane all night, was that it was booked in kind of a haphazard way. And that's not my words. That's the words of the bands who are like relying on this. This is this California thing that we're trying to get to, and this is going to be make or break for us to do this tour. You know, we just did that episode with Brian from Incendiary.
That will be who appearing next.
Yeah, right.
These are out of order.
It's fine. Brian from Incendiary, who said, yo, we got booked on this show in Orlando. We've made it our business to get down there. People were doing that for Sync with Cali, and it wasn't meeting the needs of the band. And we looked around and said, me and Riley at the festival were like, man, we could do this. We could do this better. And between him, Riley, myself, and Todd, we got together one day in January and all but booked the whole thing in a day.
Was it a hostile takeover?
No. He did the same year. He did it.
Oh,
there was a single Cali in 2006. No. There was a...
Right, they did.
It wasn't. We just... You know, one
Where
of the
was
biggest...
Where was his?
In San Pedro. And ours was in Ventura, which is a couple hours, but it's the same market. Los Angeles. But one of the major complaints that bands had was that, hey, we're trying to book our routing here. And, you know, a lot of them are bands who were doing it themselves at the time. But they were still trying to get it done a couple months in advance. And they weren't getting answers till four weeks out.
Like, as far as like when they were playing sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if hey, you're on
if
Saturday.
If they were playing, maybe.
If they were
playing. I will say that I played Sync with Callie, and it was a more casual vibe.
Which year did you play?
We like literally jumped on. Like, yeah. we
also played Sound of Fury.
We did also play Sound of Fury. But point is that like this is actually what Bob is describing is how the origin of so many fests is right. I went to a fest, I wasn't feeling it, I think I can do better.
And sure. I'd gone to a lot of other fests that I thought were great. I mean, Posse Numbers Fest gets talked about. Yeah. It should get talked about more.
Yeah.
Wilkes-Barre, they, you know,
fading from memory.
Right.
It should.
That's okay.
Rapidly fading from memory.
Right. It was a great fest.
It was a great fest, and it was well done, and it was probably more diverse than people remember it for being, because it does kind of fit into this, like, oh, this is just kind of these bands.
I remember it exclusively as Bridge Nine.
Yeah.
Shit.
And it was a lot more diverse than that, and it kind of...
I think United Blood was an offshoot of that that became even more diverse.
United Blood stopped, started in 2007. So
right, not like that
gap,
it was an
right.
offshoot necessarily,
yeah,
but kind
no,
of
they
like kind of
continue the tradition, because the guy who... One of the guys who founded it...
next to fucking playing...
Eventually, I think they diversified, but yeah. So did... I mean, I think Posse Numbers, if you go look at those lineups, there was a lot more diversity than people will acknowledge it for, because it was born out of festivals that were going on in Wilkes-Barre before that were like... borderline like emo sit-down shows.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so then the younger dudes in Wilkes-Barre,
Bob Mack,
he's the dude who ran it.
That's right.
And then all those dudes in Cold World helped. They were friends who helped.
It was the kids that wanted to stage dive, and that wasn't being offered.
And they made it happen. And so, like, and I'd been to that. I'd been to Alive and Well Festival in Jersey.
Yeah.
That was a great festival.
That was fantastic.
And so there was a lot of that kind of stuff that we had in the memory banks. And Sync with Callie, it was like, oh shit. You go there and you see how excited so many of these kids are. Pat used the word casual. I used the word haphazard. Find the truth in there. And that's kind of the vibe. And that was cool. And we were like, we can do this and be a little more organized and more concise. And, you know, the three of us put it together. And that was really cool. So, but we wanted to do a festival for people who wanted to be at a three-day hardcore festival. You know, and that's not
easy.
And it's not it's not a 25-year-old, and it sure as hell isn't a 36-year-old.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Can we get into a grievance already?
Yeah.
3 days, too fucking much.
Agree.
2 days, more than enough.
Two days, and it should be
early Sunday.
Friday and Saturday.
See, but then you have to take a day off from work.
No, you don't.
Listen.
Stick to your local festival.
Friday and Saturday, that's actually a great suggestion. You line up Fridays with your locals. The things that'll draw the people within the region that can get off of work early and drive. And Saturday is your banger.
That's a long day.
That's the long day. I am really ardently anti-Sunday.
Well, so Sunday has traditionally always been a rough day. Posse Numbers, they would honestly... It almost felt like, man, are you just sticking the shit on Sunday? But there was one year where it was a bunch of bands that all kind of fit one lane. And I have an axe to grind when you book genre-specific days. Fucking mix it up. Give people a reason to go for more than one day.
Yeah.
But it was a very genre-specific day. And that ended up being the day where it was like, oh, there was 1,100 people here Saturday, and there was 400 people here Sunday. Sunday's rough. Give people a day to travel home. Give people a day to kind of... You know, check out the area if they're not local.
Sure.
It's a nice time.
I just think that you are, and Scanlon, you can tell me, because FYI did have a Sunday, right?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, really?
Saturday or Saturday, yeah. Sunday?
Oh, come on, man.
Dude, I literally don't even know.
You looking at your phone to tell me if you were there on a Sunday? I think it was a Sunday.
It was a Saturday, Sunday. Okay. Because I remember driving home on a Monday, yeah.
So
what do we think about the pre-shows?
As a thing?
Yeah.
I like pre-shows. I like pre-shows and I like after-shows.
After shows, I like the side things because it gives you the chance to engage with the festival even if you're not able to engage with a 12-hour day of hardcore.
Also, it's worth saying
you got
that
work on a Saturday. Go to the after-show.
Bands tour together and there might be a band that is a perfect fit for the main festival who is on tour with a band that is not a perfect fit for the main festival.
Right.
And that band is best serviced by playing to their crowd who do not have to buy the weekend passes but are still bringing in income for the festival doing a sideshow, a after show or whatever instead of trying to wedge them on or telling them to fuck off. Because I find the telling them to fuck off, I've been in this position, I find the telling them to fuck off is low class. Like,
I've had to do it and it's rough.
Yeah.
Right, I'm across the country. Can you throw me a couple
of bucks? What are you doing?
I had to do it and it's rough. So quick thing here, because we're talking about a couple, you know, what we're basically advocating for, we really like the Sound and Fury modern era format where it's, they do a Friday, Saturday, or a Saturday, Sunday, FYI and Sound and Fury are kind of in the same boat on this. And then doing peripheral before show, after show, pre-show, so that you're kind of option, you opt in for those if you want them. But like, what is the argument for the 3-day festival? What is the argument for it? Please give me that.
If there is one.
Like, this is hardcore. They do a 3-day thing.
Well,
I'll say
do
this.
Four.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll make the argument that you do get a lot of people who are traveling a long way.
Oh, yeah. There's Japanese. Like,
right. Yeah. So it's pulling a lot of people. So giving them more than 2 days, if it's just 2 days, it might hurt the draw. It might be like, oh, but they come there and there's a lot of spots and a lot of people. Dude, how many people are knocking on This Is Hardcore's door to play every year?
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, in some respects, until the resurrection of Sound and Fury, I which I think competes, though not in the exact same space, I think that it was undeniable. This Is Hardcore was the premier. Everybody, even it. So this should give you some idea. Bands that don't fit the quote unquote vibe of This Is Hardcore were still angling to play it because it was and is maybe the biggest platform. So it is. But the flip side, as you said, is maybe a scale problem for a lot of us. Yeah. Like for someone like me, I've been to This Is Hardcore, I had a really great time. Yeah. But like, the idea of doing a four,
let's cop. We're old.
Yeah, right.
Right, and but then it makes you pick
and
choose.
If I'm 18, dude, I was sitting. When I was 18, which is fucking old, I went to Chicago Fest in the spring. It was a 2-day full festival in Chicago. Me and my friends drove out there.
Right.
Weekend of Easter. I drove with three other friends to Minneapolis for Havoc Fest, 2-day shows, and I was at Posse Numbers, which was 3 days. I think it was
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I think it was. And I went to all those, and I was happier than a pig in shit because I was 18, and that's what I wanted to do. And now, did I watch every band at every one of those? No.
No, you're swimming.
No, exactly. No. Yeah, but and it wasn't like, I didn't look at it like I was going to social. I didn't know anyone who was at Havoc Fest besides the people I went with. I didn't really know anyone at Chicago Fest, including the people I went with.
Nah,
me and my buddy were stowaways with an acquaintance who was driving the band Kill the Man Who Questions out.
Ah.
I didn't know those dudes before that. Got in the van and went. And it was awesome. And I didn't do a lot of like, oh, I'm hanging out, I'm being crazy. No, I was there and I watched a bunch of bands. And sometimes I went for a walk. And
get an ice cream or whatever.
Right, you know?
But do you think the volume like has an adverse effect on a lot of
I do
bands? Like, I mean,
sure.
All right, as an older person, or even, I mean, Scanlon can even talk to
26.
This.
We like
26.
You.
Year young. Old, you're a young man. Do you like if there's like if you're looking at a 4-day festival with 100 bands on it, how many would you say you'd actually go into the room and watch?
5%. I'm gonna respond on like 5 of the topics that were just covered because you guys were just speeding. But to answer your question first, I always thought it was weird when kids even my age right now or younger would go to a fest and not really watch the majority of the bands. I might be an odd man out where I try to watch almost all of them because even if it's like a band I don't like on recording, I want to give them a chance live.
So check a song or 2 hours.
And it's cool to be the odd man out and check that shit out.
Yeah, because like I said, even with like how Saint United Blood vibe has that like, oh, you know, we're just going to hang out, watch a couple bands, whatever, which is like fine, I get it. But if I'm paying money to go down to Richmond or wherever it will be, and you know, I'm paying money to get in the festival, I want to watch as much as I'm getting my money's worth.
Right.
I actually filmed 1 year of United Blood. Like, I just brought my camera and just like filmed it. My friends couldn't believe I sat through every band, and I was just I'm here for the fest. I want to see it.
Right. The fact that like Sonny pulls that off.
Oh yeah,
blows
it's crazy.
My fucking mind.
Well, that's we got to get his head tested because that is like way too much. Work.
Oh yeah, I don't know how he does.
Way
it.
So
too much
keep
work.
Going.
Sure. But so like on the 2-day versus 3-day thing, it's like you're right with the volume. It's people that are traveling far, like, they're like, there's like, people always argue, like, there's way too many fests. Like, we can get to that topic a little later, and I totally agree with. But it's like, there's definitely spots that don't have these fests and don't have fests that are reputable enough, as sad as to say, to get some of these bands. So, like Joe Smart, he'll do like, yeah, like, okay, 4 days. So like you guys and even myself, it's kind of like too much. Like I've been to, this will be my 11th as hardcore if I go this year. And I've actually been to every day. Like I haven't missed a day.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Right, but wow. Now how many times you like wake up in the hotel? It's
well, I left
noon,
I left
right.
early last year on Sunday. Like I was right. like, I can't do this. Like, you know, it's still too much.
Right, at 25.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the time, you know, like you're like there are people that are traveling from like super far, maybe in different countries, and are just like, if I'm gonna pay so much to be there, I definitely want to see as much as I can. So,
but you
want to
see
four,
the city
three.
Or sorry,
yeah,
yeah, go ahead. Do you want to see the city?
Like if you were going
yeah, that too.
To
yeah, there's
Chicago,
some,
like the Rumble.
Right.
You want to check out fucking
there's
Chicago and not spend 18 hours.
I don't know who's trying
weekend.
To. I don't know who's trying to hang out in Philly really that much. I'm. Just,
I mean, I don't.
Or Chicago.
Bob Wilson shot fire.
We're in New York. We're all shitting on Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
So. Let's rewind just a second.
Yeah.
This is going to be your 11th?
Yeah.
So you've been going to This Is Hardcore since you were...
2008 was my first one.
And how old were you?
15. 2008, I was... fucking Jesus Christ.
Summer.
17.
17.
All right, well, actually, it was the summer, so I was 16.
16.
Wow.
So, like, that's a part of your life.
Yeah, it's like, a lot of people sort of laugh when I say it, but yeah, this would be my 11th, This Is Hardcore, this would be my 10th United Blood.
Wow.
Holy and I was lucky enough to like keep going, and like I had friends that wanted to go. My first is hardcore. I can't even believe I got there in 2008 because it was literally my friend's mom just happened to be like, "Oh yeah, I'll drive to Philly and hang out for 3 days." And we're like, "Okay." And then she did the same thing for United Blood, which right. is like, "Yeah, I'm going to drive to Richmond and hang out in a hotel for 2 days." So
she definitely got secret boyfriends.
Maybe it's possible.
Get plowed out.
Yeah, but, find out. Get some. Check some. Yeah. Some pregnancy tests. All right. So so what when you. Think about this. Do you think there's a lineup that This Is Hardcore or United Blood could roll out that you're like, nah, not going?
That's the depressing. Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna say something totally different. I sort of jumped the gun. No, like I said, like
because I don't
like,
get the vibe that you're
I
going think, as a social thing. I don't get the vibe.
Hell no.
I
honestly like. I'm just like a real deal hardcore kid. Like if I'm going to a fest, I'm going because I want to see bands. Like I like sort of can't stand people that go there for like the like. There's I had an argument with people like talking about United Blood a couple years ago where like. It was like United Blood versus some other fest, and they're like, oh, well, the vibe of United Blood is so much better, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck about... Well, I mean, the vibe does count, believe me. And the
vibe
counts a lot to a lot of people. Like, if you're not just, like, in the same headset, like, mindset as me, where it's like, I just want to see bands. And, right. Like, you know, you want a location, you want to... You know, I get the vibe.
But you'd
thing.
Rather see
I get
cool
the vibe
bands
thing.
In a cool spot.
Yeah, I get the vibe thing. But if I'm going, thing, like yeah. I said, right, though,
you're
like,
talking about the social vibe.
Yeah, like if I'm going to a fest, I'm going to like see the band. I don't care to go hang out. Like honestly, I'm a weird dude. Like even if I'm at a show, I always try to just be by myself. I'm just trying to enjoy it. Like I don't like my friends are there. I'm just chilling in a corner, just watching.
I enjoy my conversations with you at fests or shows, but we end up talking about music.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, but so. And I will say I'm not throwing shade at anyone who is going for social reasons, but everybody's different.
Yeah.
So there's basically no lineup because you're gonna just be curious to see what's out there.
Well, the thing is though, as I'm getting, it's funny because I'm only like 26, but in hardcore that's old, I guess, to a lot of people.
Oh Jesus Christ!
But I mean, I have to say it against around you guys because I mean, sorry.
Come on.
But
man.
They were probably like even last year, like I was saying, like I honestly only wanted to go like two of the days. I just ended up being there for three, and then Sunday I was still there and I just left early. So I feel like there probably might be a day I might miss or something. Like now I'm starting to pick and choose, but I give This Hardcore and Joe so much credit because he's probably the only fest that can get these like crazy kind of reunions that are like, all right, he always gets at least one thing I need to see each day. And I'm like, God damn it. Like I hate him for that because I don't always want to keep going every day, but it's like, I gotta go and see it. Whereas like United Blood is like kind of more so where it's like I think they're also good at the current vibe, kind of not. I think FYA does a little bit better. No offense to like Braces or
no,
anyone in Richmond.
No worries. No
but
worries. No offense by any of this.
But yeah, I like United Blood can still have like a mediocre lineup, and I'll probably just go because that's the one that gets like the vibe from me. Where it's like I don't care about vibe. Like so, like I said, I'll watch the bands, but. I just know the responses will be good,
yeah.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see bands like kill it,
yeah.
Kind of thing, you know.
Right, you want to walk away and be like, "Holy shit!" That
yeah.
You know, that Blind Justice thing with people beating each other with fucking pool
yeah.
noodles. That was fun,
and it helps that like 50 kids go from Long Island every year. So it's like there's always a ride situation. There's always
right.
people
and there
with,
is so there's a vibe like, and there is a social aspect to it. But that's just
I'm yeah. going to talk about United Blood now in terms of scale and why I think it is the right sort of fest for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now musically, that's not. My fest, right? I
think it's probably closer to your fest than you would imagine.
No.
Well, maybe Youth Crew Pat, but
no, there is no. There is that Youth Crew Pat exists
Posse
in like
Pat
a bizarro. That's not a real thing. So United Blood perhaps musically is not exactly my lane. But what I like about that fest and what I enjoyed about a fest that got like mixed reviews, but I thought was actually same thing I liked about it was the one in Seattle, Rainfest.
Rainfest. Yeah, I like Rainfest.
They pick a room that will be filled no matter what. And I know that sounds obvious and intuitive, but it becomes a scale issue because as people at home might not understand this. Finding a venue that is the right size in your region that will let you do a show where people are dancing on each other's faces.
Several days of said show as well.
No one's
drinking beer.
Right. Right. Low alcohol sales. It's everything that a venue really does not want. And so finding one between too small and too big is really a fucking challenge.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
And I think that United Blood and Rainfest, the thing that those two had or have going for them is that they pick a room that they're like, no matter what, and
this will be full and we'll be able to cover expenses.
We're only ever going to make X amount of money, and we know that, but we know that. And I think that helps you kind of book it, too, I would imagine, that you can't get...
And then, these ridiculous reunions or whatever, because they're going to
bankrupt
30
yourself.
Grand.
Yeah.
But you can get fucking, you know, Hatebreed might be willing to like be like, fuck it. You know what? We'll take less money because we want to play a fucking hardcore show.
I think a good way, because we're kind of dancing here. We got a lot of stuff to say. Let's just do it. Let's just go into each fest, say some of the things that we think are great. And we can say if there's some things that could be opportunities, because we're not trying to come down and hammer on things. Let's talk United Blood first, because we're there. Okay. Great room.
Yeah, great size.
Great local scene.
Which venue is it? I've never been to United Blood.
What is it?
It's Canal Club.
Which is...
Twisters?
Yeah, old Twisters.
Is it old Twisters? Oh, that place is dope.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought Twisters was Strange Matter.
That might be it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's performance. Nancy Reagan, I think, maybe. I don't know. It's a club I've been to a million times.
It's been a club in the past.
Yeah, and it's...
The videos look amazing.
Upstairs, and it's... Yeah, so they... Even when they started and they were somewhere else, killer club. Exact same vibe, and they found this size club that's perfect. It's not too big, it's definitely not too small, and they fill it. And it's, I think the local support for United Blood is amazing. The other thing they have going for it, people from all over the East Coast just whoosh.
Yeah,
always.
North and South can both.
It's a great location.
Isn't it like Easter weekend almost every time too? I think
it's in the spring break range.
But now I think it's like this year. It's like the week after Easter.
And I think what they also do really well is that. How do I put this? So before United Blood, Richmond wasn't a place that people from say Long Island, New York, New Jersey. Would go to, maybe you go down to Down to Nothing record release show or something. But even before that, before Down to Nothing and that group of people, Richmond wasn't a destination for Northeast hardcore kids. It is now.
Right. People go down there for the weekend to hang.
Yes.
Not for that weekend, for any random weekend.
Right.
Oh, no, people move down there. Right.
People might not. Maybe this isn't the thing that's popping right now, but there was an actual migration to Richmond.
Right, I know like Jake Cox down there.
It was a place that people went.
I'm actually trying to move there and like at
look
the
at that.
Look at that. Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, breaking
Long Island, man. Somebody better step up. No, Scanlon, you're in trouble.
No, he's still working.
I'm still
going to
book shows and just go down there.
I think we all agree that the things that it has going for it are things that we all like. Any knock against it? Or room for improvement, as you said.
Room for improvement. That's soft words. Scanlon.
Trying to think, honestly.
I think they do a really good job of newer bands.
It's diverse.
Yeah. I think it's diverse. I think it's gotten more diverse over the years.
More, for sure. Because I don't remember it being diverse years
ago. No, because I feel like when I think of that, I think of Posse Numbers, and I could never picture like a band like Incendiary or God's Hate ever playing like a Posse Numbers kind of thing.
Oh, they did. Those kind of bands of the time did. My
memory and Tom's memory are the same on this.
I don't remember.
I'll pull it up.
There's been like
but I mean,
that's like an American Nightmare. Like that's a show like Morgado comes out and it's like Jesus Christ is returned.
When American Nightmare played Posse Numbers. Those are some of their biggest shows.
No, they did. That's what I'm saying. But like you weren't singing fucking... maybe Hope Conspiracy might have been like the heaviest band
right.
on of that because they were accepted.
Terror at the time.
It didn't,
you know,
Terror was like a, but it like, didn't make any allowance for a metalcore influence thing, is what you're saying.
Right. I never got a, you know what yeah, I mean? You were, never got a call.
I guess this is what you're saying. You never got invited. Okay.
Well, I don't care. I know it's fine. But, you know, fuck off. I didn't mean it that way, but I'm saying like I feel like United Blood is a lot more like you can have God's Hate next to like a fucking, you know, a fast hardcore band, like next to Breakaway, right, so next, to this, next to this, next to
Agnostic Front,
like,
Blacklisted, Blood Clot, Champion, Cold World, Comeback Kid, Crime and Stereo, Death Threat, Desperate Measures, The Distance. I could go on.
Bridgeton.
It's a lot of that. So that's 2004. I feel like it was for the time there was a decent diversity, but maybe you're totally right. There wasn't the metalcore. I don't know that.
Well, not metalcore. I mean, I feel like that's like that, a misnomer.
No, no, I mean,
like United Blood is a lot more diverse, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
next
opportunity. No, I mean other. I mean, I think they do a good job with that, and I think there is some. You kind of have a feel of what the sound is going to be like, but if you don't know something that's on there, and it's gotten more diverse over the years, yeah.
Okay. Listen, it's going to be heavy, but it's going to be credible heavy. That's
right. There's certain bands that are not making the cut.
Right. Right. That's United Blood thing. Sound is tasteful heavy.
All
right.
FYI.
What about it? Like what
good.
I like about it?
What's good?
Like I was saying before, I just think Bob's really good at getting current bands. It's very hard right now, I think, in hardcore to pick what's actually going to do very well, because hardcore now literally changes, like, it could change like
a year, to year, right? Like six,
yeah,
six
it could
months.
Do smaller. Like, here's the thing. Like, all right, so here's this band that put out this great release. Everyone loves it. And, you know, you get Bob's like, all right, yeah, I'm going to book him for. I'm just saying Bob as an example.
You have to give him enough head.
FYI.
He's booking it, saying, like, you know, like some fester book super far. So say, like, 6 months ago, someone dropped a crazy record. Everyone loved it.
That's right.
And then now, 6 months later, when the fest is actually happening, there's about, like, five or six other bands that are already on the fest that put out releases maybe within, like, a month or two. And they're more and more so looked at. And, like, that one band just has an okay set. And it's just, like, maybe not necessarily wasting money on the band, but say if it's like a maybe like an older band that actually does need money, or like a band from California had to fly out that maybe it bombs now, and it's just like I kind of wasted money. Like, it sucks to think that as a, just because I'm a promoter, I'm saying sucks to see something you put a lot of money into kind of and just like it kind of just like fizzle.
But now, do you think there's ever like so like say things do change?
Yeah.
Do you think? There's a lot of room for the promoter, say Bob or for yourself, to kind of go back and be like, hey man, we're going to change the play, you know, change strength, probably shouldn't headline, but they're getting headlining money. Do you flip-flop them with an Eco Strike? I know, like, personal experience, God. We played FYA, and we were, like, on the...
Oh, a Blistered thing.
Yeah, on, like, the flyer as the headliner. I'm not playing over Blistered in Florida at their last show. And, you know, those dudes were fucking awesome about it, and they went on last, course. And whatever... But I mean, like, we had the wherewithal to be like, I'm not like offended that we don't get the headline. We'll play in the middle. Right. I don't give a fuck. But I wonder if certain bands are like, you know, you're giving us X amount of money. We're a fucking legendary fucking legacy band like Chain. Are they willing to open for fucking whoever?
There's a lot of bands that aren't willing to do that.
Right.
So
which I
know. Right.
Totally. Why do you want
Chain,
to do
that? Chain probably wouldn't have done that. Like, and the band that played before Chain was Earth Crisis, and they did a lot better than Chain.
So I mean...
They're having a renaissance, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, a lot more people
are... Earth Crisis, they are having a renaissance.
They deserve it.
So, I mean, to me, what's good about FYI, I said it before, excels at the new stuff. Excels. Yeah.
And local.
Local could be
local
to everything.
North Carolina.
And I mean, I think United Blood does great. I think most of the festivals do great with it. I think almost all really try to have that local thing. But what is so interesting is when a fest like FYA blows up that local. Knee Deep, nobody should really know who that is.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, no, I totally agree.
Like, they haven't gotten out of Florida, I don't think, right?
Nope.
Right.
But, they played North Carolina once.
Good.
And it was North Carolina.
That's right. But good. But they're a band who now people know about. Pat was like asking about them the other day.
I got people on my timeline being like, give me a three knee deep shirt. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's also a band that's like how you're saying, like, it's crazy that, you know, Bob was like, I'm not going to just say it's all because of Bob, but it's crazy that a band that played a fest like blew up kind of thing. They didn't have any recorded music.
That's right.
It was just all strictly Florida kids. And like, it's kind of a band, like, if you listen to it, like, not that many people should like it. Yeah. It's a very niche kind of sound that's like somewhat kind of funny too.
Clearly.
Like, I mean, I love, like, I love all that shit. Like, I love dumb beatdowns. I'm, like, super into that stuff, which is, like, pretty funny. But I'm not saying they're a beatdown band, but I'm just saying, like, there's some elements, like, you know, there's, like, a machine gun being shot during, right, like, during one of the songs. Yeah, yeah, it's just, like, yeah, you know, it's over top.
I don't think we need to dance around it. I think they would cop to the fact that it's lowest common denominator with tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, oh, no, they're, like, the only reason why I give them credit, too, is, like, they're, when you talk to them, like, I love the singer, they get it, but they're not, like, it's weird, they're not trying too hard, like, because there's some bands that just try too hard to sound like a certain thing or rip off a certain style when it's, sure, like, the person doesn't make sense to be playing that. Like, yeah, you know, like, the singer's, like, I don't want to, like, he just, like, the way he speaks, you can be like, all right, yeah, like, this dude should be in, like, a ghetto-ass band, like, that just
like
sounds,
like, that dude,
like,
definitely weird, owned the machine gun that was on the mosh part.
Yeah, or, like, I don't know, he's just, like, it just, their okay, personality
so,
fits it.
So, okay, so... Yeah. FYI Excel. So maybe instead of talking about what fests could do great, because we're kind of hitting the same points, what can we learn from these fests? So FYI, United Blood has the Room.
The Room? I actually prefer the old venue they used to do it at, Alleycats.
Yeah,
Alleycats, but it was like, I get it though, it's like way too small. Like, it's like, if you're down in, like, because it had a balcony. You've been there, right? Yep,
absolutely.
It had a balcony. It's a little, it's like, it's kind of sucks because, you know, you don't have everyone down in the main room. People just like looking down at you. But like, when you're in that main room, it's crazy. And that's I like.
It makes for some crazy photos.
Yeah, it's scale. Yeah.
So yeah. Scale. FYI, finger on the pulse. Honestly, yeah, that's what they do really well.
Improved venue this year, too, I would imagine.
Yes, yeah, but my only suggestion... would be, all right, so they had, like, I don't know if you've seen
the
videos
railings,
or anything.
Like, on the side, right?
Yeah, there's, like, these runways. Two balconies on left and right.
Right.
I think he had the merch on the right, and then the left is, like, a side you can't really, like, cut off because, obviously, there's, like, a bar. You know, the venue needs a bar open, blah, blah,
sure,
blah. I think next year he should put the merch down in the main room so it also kind of pushes people forward.
Up. Sure.
And just don't let anyone on that right side balcony.
Like, okay. Make it
I think
VIP
that's what he should.
Something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he should let the public access the right side, like,
do you think that adversely, because it affects, like, reactions and...
Yeah,
like,
you'll have, like, say, 500 people maybe watching you, but it doesn't feel like that because you have 250 or something like that on the side, just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was... Right. It made for
and
weird
a
optics.
Fuck you horseshoe in the front of you.
Yeah, and that sucks, you know?
So,
yeah, of course.
Do we know anything about Midwest Blood?
It's... I mean, I think it's for young people in
regional,
Midwest.
Highly
sold
regional.
Out, like, 6 months in advance, yeah, so they're doing something
right. It's a very regional thing. Midwest Blood, like... It's not something that I think a Northeast kid would see or, like, anyone from the East Coast and be like, oh, I'm traveling to that. Because, like, here's the thing, like, how I was saying there's a little bit too much fest. Like, I respect people from, like, a part of the country that doesn't really get a lot of tours or, like, doesn't have, like, a crazy hardcore scene. And they just, like, make a fest and, like, build their own thing.
Right, like, they
and,
did
like,
that in Oklahoma, right? They did, like, the Flyover Fest.
Oh, yeah, they did something like that, yeah.
Because
yeah.
There was,
like, Integrity.
And there was a fest in Arkansas, too.
Right, because like, you're not getting... Yeah. Integrity's not coming to fucking Tulsa, Oklahoma, unless you book them on a festival.
Yeah, and I totally get, like, you know, doing your own festival. Yeah. But, yeah, Midwest Blood is, like, not to be mean, but, like, if you're from the East Coast, you're not going to travel, because it's mostly Midwest bands that, like, maybe we haven't heard or just, like, won't necessarily
care about.
Like, who are the two headlines? It's so Knock Loose and...
Yeah, it always used to just be, like, Expire every year, and then, like, it would, you know, switch off. But,
do you
yeah,
like any of those
year...
bands?
Huh?
Do you like any of those bands?
I like the first Expire 7-inch. I didn't think it was that bad. They played, like, my friend's basement, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is pretty cool. And then it sort of, like, kind of died off for me. But, I mean...
Got bigger.
Yeah, almost. I give them credit, though. They got so many kids into hardcore. Like, even if I don't fuck
with
it...
No Axe to Grind.
Yeah, no Axe to Grind on them at all.
But the fest... So you brought up...
No. Oh, yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Right.
Midwest Blood.
Is it Louisville or Lincoln or so, whatever?
No, Spinelli's is like that weird pizza spot that's in the base. Yeah, it's a really
It's not
weird
there.
Thing. No, it's definitely not there.
But it's in a big venue.
It's not even a big venue because I think it sells out apparently at like 300.
Which sold out in like a week or something.
But, yeah,
like
it always sells out. Yeah.
But,
cool.
But that's a perfect regional fest to me is 300 and make it insane. Like, you know, make it a venue that doesn't honor a fire code and just
right, like
fill that
Blue should not be playing in this room.
Right. Like make people remember it.
Right. So I'm looking at this lineup and I know some of the bigger bands. And
throw
I know
them out
a
there.
Few. Okay. So the bigger bands I know. I'll give you the big bands. Spine. Everybody know them?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Are they one of the bigger bands?
Yeah, they're
headlining. But now they played like FYA.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're headlining the pre-show Thursday.
Yeah.
Friday is Bent Life. We know them, Midwest. Yeah. World of Pain, San Diego.
But a Midwest sensibility,
right?
Let's be frank.
Saturday, Knocked Loose. We got Knocked Loose. We got a TBA secret thing. And then God's Hate, we got that Cali vibe.
Got it.
Yeah. Stone, we got that Midwest. Which is new Expire, Detain, right? Harms Reduction Record.
That's it. Ann Arbor Core.
So then going Grand through, Rapids. But when I'm going through the rest, and you know, I think we all are pretty deep on this stuff.
I wouldn't recognize two thirds of this. I know
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm looking at you know. I
throw me the opener.
Well,
openers. Constraint.
No.
Contrast.
No.
Wolf Piss.
Good name.
I want to. Yeah, I'd like to. Like
Transgression.
Them.
No. Devil's Den.
No. All right, so you know what though? Those are all the local yeah. bands that we're telling Fest to throw
Decline,
on.
Decline. Nesh. Lethal Contact, Inclination.
Yeah. Well, here's like the point I was making though, where like, all right, so someone from the East Coast, like who has United, like East Coast is super spoiled, has United Blood, has this hardcore, they see this lineup
as America's hardcore,
where this the headline, has black and blue. Yeah, I mean it has so yeah. many different things.
It's right, but bad. Sorry.
So you see like the headliners or like the top tier bands is like God's Hate and
like Knocked Loose.
Yeah, you know, and but it's just like wow, it's crazy. Like to me, it's like. It's crazy that those are the bigger names because, like you know, you have United Blood and this hardcore where they're throwing like these crazy names at you, and
but is that important? Yeah. I mean, that's you're in one sense
that goes back to well, like, even, getting the big reunions,
right? Not even yeah. reunions. I'm just saying, like,
I'm not even saying reunions. I'm saying big bands. Knock Loose like is bigger than
yeah.
Knock Loose bigger than any band we've talked about so far.
For
right
sure.
Now?
Oh, Knock Loose is probably bigger than they're, any current hardcore band except for maybe. They're definitely bigger than Code Orange.
They're as big
Orange,
as Code Orange. They're as big as Power Trip. Yeah, absolutely.
Knock Loose is huge.
Huge. Like bigger than those types.
Oh yeah, they're right there, man. Yeah. And that's not shit, and that's no not idea. Just it's just that they are in a like the Ajace category. You yeah. know, they're an
like
entry
the
level.
Stick to Your Guns.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I knew they were very big.
I mean, somewhere at Stick to Your Guns, Comeback Kid when they were really popping, you know, like this crossover where
right.
there's kids who like Code Orange, obviously, like yeah. they're also yeah. like Knock Loose. There's kids who like Turnstile and also like Knock Loose.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's hard, wow. but I mean, I wonder if Knock Loose is from Richmond, you know, they might be a different story.
Well, right? Yeah, that's
they
the thing.
Like the hometown push.
Yeah. That's the thing is. Like, are you saying?
I'm trying to think about.
Are you
like,
asking if hardcore kids would be more into it if they were from Richmond? Is that
no,
saying?
I'm not saying hardcore kids. I'm saying East Coast people from the East Coast. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think I'll
think they'd be less involved. Like if they were a New York band, people would be like, "What the fuck
yeah,
is this?"
100%. I'll right. be honest.
They'd
like,
be playing like shitty fucking.
No, and I think they built themselves on that Midwest love, and they really built up to a really big level.
Yo, the Midwest kids identify with it.
Yeah, on for them.
It means something to them. All right.
Yeah.
So
Midwest Blood, what do we like about Midwest Blood? The local love.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm down.
I don't know a thing else about
and
it.
And I think
except
that others do it really well as well,
on.
But they really put it on. We don't know much about you. Come out, get out of this with some info about Midwest Blood.
Yeah, I know Detain loves that shit, has a good time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Damaged City, what do we know?
It's way too punk for me.
I didn't recognize four-fifths of the bands.
The lineup has definitely gone down a bit in the recent years. Wow. It's definitely more punk oriented. I think the lineups were stronger a couple years ago. The previous year wasn't too hot for me, and then this year's like it's got some like pretty decent like punk bands on and stuff like that. But
the two,
biggest
like,
problem right now is that it's the same weekend as United Blood, which is like United Blood's not
away.
Even announced yet.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
United Blood's not even announced yet,
is
but
it
you know
still
it's
the same weekend, April 5th.
Yeah,
did
this
they
is
do
the
that
second
last
year.
Too?
This is the second year
they did,
doing
and
that.
It was really a
I remember
bummer.
That.
Did it have like an adverse effect on?
No, it didn't affect United Blood. Might have affected DC. I don't know.
You know,
it's two different.
I think you're giving an opinion. Please give an opinion. I think that it did impact it. Not
you,
in a big way.
Or?
Yeah, I think they both impacted each other.
I mean, they're divergent enough.
There's divergent enough in the lineup,
yeah.
But I think that might have been where it impacted it.
Well, I'm going to offer a different thing. I think it might not have, it may or may not have impacted the actual people in the room, like amount of people. What I think it does is it splits that scene in an unnecessary
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it separates
that's
them.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's where the thing is it's kind of like making you choose between I'll go to Damaged City, I'll go to United Blood. If I'm 18, I want to go to both. I want to be able to go.
But that I think is...
But I don't think Damaged City is on the 18-year-old.
No, I think... I think
different 18-year-old?
No,
than,
not different. Different, but I agree with... So I half agree with Bob.
Yes.
I think that there is... Maybe me at a certain age, maybe me today, actually, I would want to see bands from both.
Yes. And so let me give you a quick thing, because I think I see where Pat's going here. I'm going to read you some of the lineup from one of the fests. Free, Enforced, Substance, Abuse of Power, Distort.
With a Z.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What fest is this?
That's probably the
I'm saying that's damn
shitty. Those are all bands that play United Blood. Those are all bands that could play United Blood too.
Yeah.
But if and maybe some will. Because but they're gonna figure it out. But they're having to do that dance. Because what my heart is always in for is kind of what Pat was saying, what I think everybody in this room, I might not know, and I know this one, Rosh Homan. You would like them. But and it's a great demo that came out last year. But you might not know it, but if you were going to see Free and saw them play before, if you saw them, you would be like, oh shit, that was cool.
Yeah, you got
it. And you'd be exposed to it. And you might go to this. But if you're making people choose, they're going to choose on party lines.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I don't like about it, is that like that partisanship that it fosters is ultimately not good for
anybody.
Not good for bands. Forget the kids for a second, because I'm in bands.
Right, so
does that
preclude Free from playing United Blood because they're playing?
Well, hopefully not. And they probably figure it out. But
I don't think either fest would kind of like draw a line in the sand.
Yeah.
No, but if you separate them a month, which, don't get me wrong, we don't want to micromanage anybody's fest, right?
No.
So like, I don't know what the fucking details are here.
Right.
But if you separate them by a month, you might get every regional kid at both.
Exactly. So so let's not come down too hard on Damaged City for this. Because United Blood's on the same weekend. It's you know, like,
guys, it's actually United Blood's fault.
Fault's irrelevant. But I think I actually, fucking looking braces. At this, I know a lot of these bands, and it's a great fest, a great lineup. I haven't been, but I know people who flew out from California to this because it's got a diverse lineup.
Yeah,
I would compare this. I kind of put it in the same bucket as, say, Not Dead Yet up in Toronto.
Yeah,
that's how I looked at it.
That's how it is.
A lot of that stuff. And you know, the one thing that I like when these fests do is when they throw a couple, when Damaged City or Not Dead Yet goes, yo, let's take this is hardcore fest, this Sound and Fury fest, this United Blood fest staple, sprinkle it into ours, because that brings a different flavor.
Yeah, Incendiary did exposes, Not Dead Yet last year.
Yeah.
Right, and it
went over huge.
And it exposed
and played with
it
like
in a Sect
and like a rant. It was it wasn't like their crowd of bands that they would play with.
Well, and it kind of it crosses it and says, and that's kind of what I said with the like genre days, mix that stuff up. It's really nice. And I think that Damaged City and Not Dead Yet both are conscious of what they are as a festival,
right?
But also
that's without
are willing
question,
to bring
yeah.
are willing to bring that bleed.
Okay, so let's bounce into This Is Hardcore.
Yes.
Which is not elephant in a room like we're grinding, but it's the elephant in the room in that it's a big fest at this
it's
point.
The biggest
it's the biggest one.
So
has been for many years.
I don't know. I don't think I went last year. I think I went the year before. But I don't recall what. So the thing that you beef with, essentially subgenre days. Stratifying days by
hardcore, metalcore.
Right. Like the Goon Day.
Yeah.
Right. Like.
Which has some merit to it, because if
sure,
I'm going to see
sure,
the fucking Turning Point reunion, do I want to like have to worry about getting punched in the face during?
see, some that other is band? That's the delicate balance. But I know plenty of people, and I don't know the fucking numbers on any individual day of This Is Hardcore, but I know people that skipped the Goon Day entirely.
Sure,
yeah. They paid their fucking
four
weekend
days worth of, yeah.
Yeah, but did not. And don't get me wrong. Like, if that's how the books are balanced, if it's like, hey, listen, you can take a day off if you want, kid. You're getting more than your money's worth on 3 days. It's fine.
Well, and so I would say, honestly, I mean, has This Is Hardcore done the kind of stratified days?
Sure.
But I've also seen it where they've done the very diverse days,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
You know, really big. And, I mean, Posse Numbers was really guilty of doing that. And that's, you know, and Sound and Fury. You know, like, I'm sure there's times where people go, you know. There's a couple years there where they were kind of like, oh, here's this, like, poppier day. Here's this.
Right.
But I think
a pop day is the worst possible thing for your niche festival.
Sure.
I think that it's a road that a lot of fests end up going down. And it's almost always ill advised.
Right.
You don't know what to do with that day, so you stack it with all that stuff
don't
instead of making that a sub headliner, which almost always makes the most sense.
Sound Fury did it last year.
To me, as the fest goer, again, I don't know anybody's pockets. As a fest goer, that's toxic to me. I don't like your pop day is of no interest to me, and that's fine. I'm not everybody's consumer, but I mean, it actually actively makes me less inclined to attend your festival, period.
And I think the piece to me is when you are booking a band who is say you're booking a hardcore fest, because that's what we're talking about, and you're booking a band who's pop punk or indie-ish or whatever, you know, like Turnover's a good example. We did it with Self Defense years ago. You know, we looked at it and said, okay, this is, you know, a palate cleanser. This is something where we're going to give somebody, and now for something completely different.
Right.
And I think that you get that in different formats and different fests.
It's nice to, nice to have a respite from...
Right, and just... Right. Yeah. And that's something we always took a huge value, and we're like, that is cool. And I like when people do that. Now, when you group them all together, it's just clusters. It's, you know, to me, it's like a clot, not a... gathering.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's the exact reason why I left early a Sunday this past this hardcore is because, like, it was literally like...
You're not trying to see Shelter at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday?
Well, here's the thing is I actually kind of wanted to see Shelter. I love and, Shelter. But the thing was, though, it was like the...
Shelter's on
I don't
this
even know what kind of genre to say it. It's like... It was like, you know, like Wisdom of Change and H2O and like Murphy's Law. And like I like...
So,
you know,
old man hardcore.
It's the old man stuff, you know.
On a Sunday night is
on
a
Sunday night, and it's just like...
Recipe for disaster.
I want to get home and go to Philly. Okay. I mean, from Philly, you know, I just want to like go home. It's like 3-hour drive, whatever. So, yeah, I think it's definitely not in the best interest when fests do that and try to make like specific days. I get why they do it, though, because you always have the idiots that are like, oh, I'm not going to waste money to go see only one band on this one day. And then, oh, but there's, like, this other band I want to see the other day where it's like, I'll do that. Like, I don't
care.
Sure,
you will.
You know,
that's like, what people will definitely. I mean, I've met people that literally just went down for the Shelter day.
Yeah. No, I did, too.
Just
I think,
for that. Yeah.
I think you get in trouble with that, but it's that's just kind of a manner of philosophy for any sort of festival with it. And to me, I'm always of the mind, like, all right, I want to make it so that there's at least, oh, you like this kind of band? There's at least 2, 3, 5 bands on this show, that on this day, that you got to see.
Right.
And they're not. Instead of it being like, all right, 12 bands Sunday, here they are.
Right,
and 10 of them are this sound. I'd rather it be 2, 3, 5.
You have to mix it up a little bit. And you have to balance it.
Exactly. Yeah, and so balance. But I will say this. One of the biggest things that I really do, I appreciate it greatly that This Is Hardcore does, it's an international festival. He draws people from all over the place, and he books bands from other countries. Yep. And I think I think that's very specific. I think that's thought out, and it's kind of giving a nod to that this isn't just going to be like, oh, you know, he throws bands like The Geeks last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
And like, who? No other fest is doing that, and that's a really cool thing.
He books
up
bands.
Black Blue Dot.
Black Blue always definitely brought in European
one
bands.
International band
that's cool.
Right here, I think.
And I just
I mean, and that's
an
expensive thing for a band that probably won't bring that money.
And, you know, let's not count people's dollars. They're doing it on this giant exposure. There's a band from Russia a couple years back who played, and I thought that was cool. Joe was the first dude who booked for Scene, that band, like thrash band
from Denmark, right?
From Finland. Finnish thrash. And like that band's fucking great. And at that exposure level. So I will call This Is Hardcore the international fest because he gets a lot of people from all over the world, and that's just awesome. You know, like it really is like a melting pot.
This is my only, it's not a knock yet. It's just an apprehension. It's like a nervousness. The only thing I can equate this to is like watching some of these young rap acts, like not the fucking, ones that we talk about, the SoundCloud ones, but like the kids with guns, like they're 17 year olds with guns and I get nervous. Now I have a similar feeling about This Is Hardcore because Black and Blue might have the highest contingency or highest number of criminals in one room.
Right, like the concentration of...
The highest concentration of criminals in one room.
Sure.
But nobody wanders into that not knowing that it's going to be the highest
concentration.
Right,
and no one is going to do something stupid knowing the person next to you could have you beaten.
Correct.
Right.
And that's to its benefit, even if it's kind of a precluding vibe. Not everybody wants that at all, right?
Right, but the bands they book, for the most part,
appeal to that crowd, get it.
And are comfortable with it. 100%. Everyone knows what they're getting into.
Right.
No one's rolling in there.
This Is Hardcore occupies a strange space where there is some of that, but don't get me wrong, this is to Joe's credit, that it's not like just... criminals, right?
No,
like,
not
like,
even
no.
Close, yeah.
But at that volume, you're gonna have some criminals, and you're gonna have a lot of.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, Sound of Fury last year was the most harmless fest I've ever been to. like,
is
I
that a positive or a negative?
I think it was a huge positive for that specific.
Sound of Fury banks itself on being harmless,
yeah, so people will come back and feel comfortable.
Like,
like some of those dudes running that shit are no joke.
Well, yes, that's
none
true.
Of us were.
But here's the thing. Okay, real quick.
No, I'm not saying anything about any of those dudes.
This is no trust. This is nobody on this podcast testing anybody's gangster.
No,
on the
please. Front.
But what I guess what I'm saying is, Sound of Fury last year. Was the most diverse crowd that I had seen at a festival in terms of gender, in terms of
everything.
It was just a really like, and that set, it was a positive vibe. Everybody got behind it. It was cool.
It seemed joyous. Like, right. For lack of a better term, like watching the videos, I was like, this looks awesome.
There's
like,
a
this
joy
looks
and a
like,
passion to it.
Right.
And so you can, it's palpable and you can
from
see
from the bands
it.
And from the kids you can yeah. see, like, it's not like, check out my move, I'm going to punch somebody in the mouth.
No. Right. But,
it just fucking but, everyone having a ball.
But I want to offer a crazy opinion on that.
Go.
I personally fall more on this is hardcore vibe. I
you want the danger.
I'm not a criminal. But I grew up at shows that were,
that are criminals
that were somewhat yeah. criminal.
I mean, and this is what hardcore is. We lock ourselves in with felons.
And so to me, I'm comfortable in a this is hardcore environment. I'm good with this. Black and Blue is a little much to me for me to be honest. But
I love it.
But the
hometown advantage.
What I'm saying is having this is hardcore has enough of that element that I'm always nervous that there's somebody who doesn't get it. Like, and that,
okay.
And
but I feel like that's yeah. pervasive in Philly and Boston. You always feel like something crazy might happen right now.
But it's a bad kind of crazy for me.
But like maybe because in New York, I'm spoiled because I know New York people.
Right.
And well, I don't feel, but like, I feel like I've gone to, like, not fest and just go, some dude in a Dropkick Murphys hat can punch me right now. Like, I don't really know what's going to, I just feel like there's always like that palpable sense of like, something crazy might happen. While maybe New York has kind of been neutered because of the influx of non-New Yorker. I don't know.
I think seen some crazy what's shit. Being yeah no. I mean, I think
I'm not saying that in a bad way.
No. There's a
Bob
there's
just slowly element. Walked away from his microphone.
Yeah, that Homer Simpson yeah. meme fading yeah. into the bush.
I just don't want to see anybody's fest get shut down because of some stupidity, and I worry for
I
even though it's not my fest to worry.
Everyone
about.
In that. Charge of the festivals. Is very much in control of that element,
mm-hmm.
whether you feel it or not, and that would definitely not be an issue.
In any of them.
Yeah. At any
no
of them.
Fucking,
at any
yeah.
of them.
I think
and
the people...
That feeling is kind of also just kind of plays into the bands that are booked, you know? And, you know, last year it was a joy. We'll say Sound of Fury had... You know, Sound of Fury will say has a joy to it.
Yeah, that's when little, I call it harmless, that's not a knock. It was right. actually
no.
It's,
harmless is a very kind thing to me, and it's inviting, it's inclusive, it's welcoming.
Right,
right. And it's not to say that this is hardcore isn't those things. You walk around this is hardcore, and you see people who many of them have saved up their entire like whatever bullshit
allowance.
Mop yeah. money that they've got to go do this, and they are having a great time. That said. This is hardcore. You got the East Coast grit, right?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
you got that Albany dirt level,
and
you
no,
got that.
There's
got
not
that,
a beach down the street.
No, right. And like you know, Sound of Fury embraces the beach. This
be
is hardcore embraces
to.
The street. You know,
and, yeah.
And it's not
and cheesesteaks.
but I think that that feeling is a feeling, and that is when you talk about the vibe. That's kind of where it all plays in. Wow, we could talk about this for a long.
Yeah,
time.
We
it's
might,
only
yeah.
a part one, clearly, because
we
have more.
Yeah, we might have to do a second part of this, but. Scanlon, we appreciate you coming. Is there anything we got like a few minutes? Is there anything you want to expound on?
I'm trying to think. Well, I just wanted to touch on one thing too. Like I understand what you're saying about like this hardcore vibe. I mean, I've gone there. This will be my 11th year if I go, which I'm sure I will. I've never felt like you know like nervous. Right? Like I've definitely gone to shows and felt straight up scared, especially in New York at you know some certain shows. Like I know Tom was saying, you know. He doesn't feel like it's as scary because of like everything's like kind of new. There's still some like sketchy ass shows that happen, but I feel
such
like
as?
I don't know. Okay, I'll get into it later. But I feel like people that are at this hardcore that might be more on the more intimidating side sort of know not to do anything dumb there because of the parties involved. They don't want to ruin something, and you know they don't want to get on bad.
But you don't
want to
be you don't want to be the asshole that got
no,
the fest shut down.
I think it's greater than that. I think it's not like oh they want to do it because this dude or this dude. They don't want to do it because they know how important that festival is.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. You want to be the guy that ruins 3,500 people's time?
I'm not trying to jinx them. I'm just saying you got a lot of dudes with poor impulse control in the same fucking spot. That's all I'm saying. Whatever. Is there anything that we're going to do a part two? Do we want to say what came out? How's everybody feel about that twitching tongues?
I actually love it. I don't know what I think about the video yet.
Love the video.
I think it's a little ridiculous, but I think the song is great. The chorus is huge, and I'm psyched. If that's what the record's going to come out like, then I'm really fucking stoked.
That's awesome. It is.
Yeah, I think the song's good. I like it. It's definitely a step up from the... I know the previous record gets shit on all the time.
There's some good songs on there.
I mean, they're my friends, so I can say whatever. Yeah. But, like, yeah, like they even know like sometimes the last record gets shit on. But I think this song was great. And the video, yes, it is. It kind of is a little too much, but that's twitching tongues now. They just embrace that they're, like, goofy. Right. Like, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, Colin shows up in a fucking robe and a mask. Like,
that's true.
They don't give
a shit.
I mean,
there were certain things, like, when he's starting, his, like, brother is, like, kind of slowly edging off screen.
It's a little gaggy, but I like it. I think
the song, I just hope that doesn't adversely affect.
I don't think it will. I think people
song?
Are, I think people are with this so far. Listen, here's my
gauge. We're with this, but
no,
I'm saying,
but
like,
here's my gauge.
Joe Metal Guy out there.
Oh, you're saying like that.
No,
but, like, if you're seeing this on fucking Headbangers Ball, whatever the thing is.
I think they're in.
The song is fucking great.
And listen, I ran this by my girl who was younger, and before I finished, I said, "What'd you think of that?" She said, "I thought it was awesome. I love the song." She didn't watch the video because YouTube generation,
Videos don't exist. You put that on
and it just plays in the background.
Right.
But she loved the song. So I think that bodes well for them, to be honest.
The chorus is huge.
Yeah.
It's got a great mosh part.
You're big on that chorus.
It's fucking really catchy.
Do you have an opinion on it? Bob Homer Simpson, the mic again.
No. It's fine.
Okay.
It's not for you. But I think the video is funny, and I think it's cool that they embrace it. Because, right, like, that dude's a silly dude and makes funny videos, right? Or made funny videos.
But he made the guy from Hatebreed silly, which is pretty... I mean, that's... Yeah. That takes...
I thought that was cool.
That's great.
Music, I'm curious to see how they do.
Okay. Anything else we want to say? Harm's Way single. This one's better than the last one. That's all I got to say.
I thought the first single from this record was the best Harm's Way song that I've ever heard. I take that back. The second one is by far the best.
Up to this point, you haven't been a Harm's Way dude.
No.
First one I thought was okay. Didn't excite me.
And I still think that was better than their usual input.
This second song I think is pretty strong. I think it should have been the lead single.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Because we're tight for time, we'll do other things later.
There you go. Bye.
Yeah. Everybody be good.
We'll do a part two of Deer Fest.
Yeah.
We'll probably shit on some more.
Thank you so much to our guest, Mr. Scanlon.
Thanks for having us. Vengeance Fest.
And our engineer today, Sean.
Yes,
thank you very much for your patience. And also
his beautiful partner, who
has been patient, and his roommates who stepped out.
And their wonderful dog.
Jasper. Shout out to
Everybody have a beautiful night. This has been Axe to Grind.
Thank you.